Hi, and welcome to the magazine rack on Chris. I'm June Holliday. Today I'll be reading from the March-April 2024 issue of Reader's Digest. Our first article is from Your True Stories, entitled Gotcha. We asked for it. What's the best prank ever pulled? By Reader's Digest readers. An exercise in futility. My best friend has always been competitive. Once, while we used adjacent elliptical machines, I set mine to age 99 and 999 pounds, so the display showed I was burning 3 times more calories than she was. She rode that machine like a bronco, trying to match me until I gave in and told her what I had done. Now we both mess with the settings to amuse each other. By S.C., Metamora, Illinois. The Dairy Queen's Jester. We live next to a Dairy Queen that, naturally, we frequent. My sister-in-law told us that if we saved enough of the little red spoons that come with the ice cream treats, we'd get a free blizzard. I saved and saved, but when I went to redeem my spoon collection, the cashier was confused. The manager broke it to me that there was no such promotion, then gave me a free cone anyway. My sister-in-law couldn't believe I fell for it, and considering she's a notorious prankster, neither could I. By Gerald Maynard, Roanoke, Illinois. Health Nut Glut. My aunt and uncle were religiously healthy eaters, so when they visited my medical office on April Fool's Day, I knew a prank was in order. I forged a medical article extolling white bread, eggs, and red meat, and warning of the dangers of whole grains and excessive vegetables. The longer they read, the lower they sank in their chairs. Until they got to the last line, "What can we conclude from this research? Never trust an article handed to you on April Fool's Day." By Gary Oxier, Chandler, Arizona. The Old Switcher Flu. My new boyfriend and I both scheduled flu shots. Mine was first, and before I got home, I moved the bandage from my arm to my derriere. He was distressed at the thought of receiving a shot there. When we returned for his shot, he was relieved when the pharmacist told him to roll up his sleeve instead. We both laughed hysterically on the way home. We've been together for 4 years now, so I guess he can take a joke. By Peggy Squires, Sterling, Illinois. Getting an earful. A prankster in my office thought it would be funny to put a big glob of hand cream on the receiver of another coworker's landline so the goo would squish in his ear the next time he answered the phone. But the instigator didn't think it was so funny when he found out the hard way that someone had switched the phones when he wasn't looking. By Fred Moore, The Villages, Florida. A light bulb moment. I stayed home while my parents went on vacation. Back at home, they dragged their luggage through the door and began turning on lights. Except the lights weren't working. My dad checked the breaker panel. No blown fuses. They checked the electric bill. It was paid. Finally, my dad reached into a lamp to change the bulb. That's when they discovered that all the bulbs in the house had been unscrewed just enough so they wouldn't work. By David Shelton, Lavin, Texas. Phoning it in. I work in a corporate IT department. One April Fool's Day, I forwarded the phone calls for everyone in the entire office to one coworker's line. Her phone blew up for hours with callers trying to find out why they couldn't reach their intended parties and asking when the situation would be fixed. It wasn't until the afternoon that she finally figured it out. Everyone else had a great day. By Bella Williams, Sparks, Nevada. Putting the gas in gaslighting. Years ago, all my boss could talk about was the fantastic gas mileage of his new Volkswagen Beetle. We got so tired of hearing about it that we decided to help by adding a gallon of gas to his car's tank every day. He was getting 250 miles per gallon by the time he learned what we'd been up to. by Richard Peluso, Midway, Georgia. A prank for the books. If a lost library card turned up at the branch where I worked, the no-nonsense head librarian would get on the intercom and announce the owner's name so the person could come to the desk and retrieve the card. That gave me an idea. I made a bunch of fake library cards and scattered them around the stacks on April Fool's Day. All day, famous literary characters, Anna Karenina, Ramona Quimby, Sam Spade, even Winnie Da Pooh, were getting paged to come pick up their lost cards. When I returned to the library years later, the head librarian recognized me and said, "You're the one who did the April Fool's prank." Then I saw something I've never seen in all my time working there, the head librarian's smile. By Violet Lavoit, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. News from the World of Medicine by Samantha Rideout. New help for heart disease. Since the 1950s, medical scientists have understood that high cholesterol can contribute to coronary artery disease, CAD, by clogging the arteries with plaque. More recently, they learned that chronic inflammation in the arteries is another key risk factor. Now, two large multinational clinical trials have shown that colchicine, a drug that's already used to treat other inflammatory conditions such as gout, is also useful for preventing heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular death in people with CAD. When added to standard treatments such as statins, it reduced the risk of these complications by as much as 31%. The FDA recently approved low-dose colchicine for this purpose, making it the first medication that tackles cardiovascular disease by specifically targeting inflammation. You can't reverse sleep deprivation. With help from people who volunteered to stay up overnight, scientists from Michigan State University and the University of Pittsburgh have tested two popular ways of compensating for sleep deprivation: caffeine and napping. Researchers compared cognitive test results of people who slept and those who stayed up all night, and they could tell the difference. Sleeplessness took a toll on people's ability to stay focused on a task and to follow a complex set of directions. Consuming caffeine equal to 2 cups of coffee improved focus but not direction following. Taking a 30 or 60 minute snooze didn't fully restore their brain function either. So while loading up on caffeine and catching a few midday Z's might help you get through the day, neither will it have you performing at your best. A few steps go a long way. The more you walk each day, the greater the health benefits. If there is an upper limit to this general rule, it hasn't been determined yet. But the minimum number of steps needed to start making a difference might be lower than previously thought. A review of 17 earlier studies found that taking as few as 2,500 steps per day could reduce by 16% or more the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease compared to walking less. When it comes to prolonging lives, said the lead researcher, Macid Banich, even modest lifestyle changes can be surprisingly powerful. How calories count. For people trying to gain, lose, or maintain body weight, not all calories are equal, suggests a report published in the journal Nature Communications. A group of young adults tried two very different diets for 22 days each. Both of the diets involved eating the same amount of calories, but one was rich in fiber, while the other was full of processed foods, such as white bread and sugary snack. On average, the high-fiber dieters absorbed 116 fewer calories per day without feeling hungrier. How? The upper gastrointestinal tract quickly absorbs highly processed foods, meaning our bodies absorb more of their calories. Because whole foods take longer to digest, they make their way to the colon, where most of our gut microbiota live, so they can feed on those whole foods and use the calories rather than the body simply absorbing them. Defibrillators save lives. When somebody experiences cardiac arrest in public, it's always worth trying to find an automated external defibrillator, even if an ambulance isn't far away. In a recent analysis of Danish data, defibrillation improved cardiac arrest victims' chances of survival if paramedics took longer than 2 minutes to arrive. While laws vary by state, many public spaces, such as community centers, gyms, and airports, are legally required to have AEDs. They aren't mandatory in all workplaces and buildings, but the devices, which cost roughly $1,500 to $2,500, could be a life-saving investment. Let's continue this March-April edition of Reader's Digest with 13 Things, a Baker's Dozen Facts About Eggs by Courtney Shea. Number 1. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The scientific answer to this age-old question is the egg. Chickens are a domesticated version of the red jungle fowl Gallus gallus, a tropical bird still common in forests and jungles across Asia. Selectively breeding the tamest of the birds created a new species about 8,000 years ago. The first ever chicken, Gallus domesticus, came from the egg of its wild ancestor. Number 2. More than 99% of Earth's animal species reproduce by laying eggs, with mammals being the notable outliers. Even then, there are two exceptions: the echidna, spiny anteater, and the platypus. Number 3. We've all seen white and brown eggs in the dairy case. But contrary to what people say, the white eggs have not been bleached. Chicken eggs come in an array of shades, including cream, pink, blue, and even green. So green eggs aren't just the imaginings of Dr. Seuss, though in real life, only the shells appear green. The color of an egg's shell makes no difference to the nutrition or taste. Number 4. Eggs are a great source of protein and vitamins A, D, and B12. But they're also high in dietary cholesterol, which has led to some confusing guidelines. In the 1960s and 70s, the American Heart Association warned against eating more than 3 eggs per week, but current research has debunked this, concluding that there's no definitive link between eating eggs and an increase in blood cholesterol. Number 5. Chocolate eggs don't have the same nutritional benefits, which is a shame considering Americans eat roughly 90 million of them each spring. Easter is the highest earning holiday for chocolate. Number 6. Archaeologists have discovered decorated eggs in the tombs of ancient Mediterranean and Middle Eastern elites. But the association with Easter began in Ukraine. With the yolk representing the sun, decorating eggs was a way to welcome spring and ward off a bad crop season. As Christianity spread to Eastern Europe in the Middle Ages, the ritual was reimagined, with eggs symbolizing Christ's resurrection. Number 7. Fabergé eggs are the fanciest of all Easter eggs, crafted from gold and adorned with diamonds and semi-precious stones. The ornate hen egg, commissioned by Tsar Alexander III as an Easter gift for his wife, was the first in a series of 50 created for the Russian imperial family between 1885 and 1917. One of these, the third imperial egg, had been considered lost since 1922, but then it wound up at a Midwestern flea market in 2004, where a buyer paid $13,302 hoping to sell it, but not realizing its full worth. He wasn't alone. No one wanted to buy it, and the egg sat in his kitchen cupboard for years. He nearly sold the gold for scrap before finally confirming its true identity and selling it to a private collector for an estimated $33 million in 2014. Number 8, Easter eggs have become a mainstream pop culture phenomenon seen in Marvel movies, video games, and Taylor Swift music videos. The practice of hiding hard-to-catch inside jokes for mega fans is now done deliberately, but it started by accident on the set of 1975's The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The cast had held an egg hunt, and some of the eggs were so well hidden that they weren't removed before filming. At least 3 Easter eggs are visible in the final film. Number 9. Copper Mountain in Colorado boasts the world's largest Easter egg hunt, where 65,000 eggs are hidden across 2,500 acres. Far more famous, the annual Easter egg roll on the White House South Lawn dates back to 1878, after Congress forbade egg rolling on Capitol Hill to protect the grounds from wear and tear. Rutherford B. Hayes was the first president to welcome children and their eggs to the White House. Number 10. A picture of a speckled brown egg became the most liked image on Instagram in 2019. After claiming the top spot, breaks began to appear on the shell in subsequent images. Then it fully cracked under pressure. The initially anonymous poster turned out to be an ad executive named Chris Godfrey, and the whole thing was a part of a Super Bowl ad about social media's effect on mental health. With more than 60 million likes, at world record eggs photo was Instagram's most liked image until late 2022, when a photo of soccer star Lionel Messi unseated it. Number 11, ostriches lay the largest eggs, averaging nearly 6 inches long, 5 inches wide, and 3 pounds. At a Swedish farm in 2008, an ostrich laid an egg nearly double that size, weighing in at 5.7 pounds, a new world record. But the biggest eggs ever are believed to be those of the aptly named but now extinct Epiornis maximus, elephant bird, a flightless species once native to Madagascar, whose eggs were about 1 foot long, 8.6 inches wide, and almost 29 pounds. Just one could yield about 150 omelets. Number 12. Eggs Benedict, soft-boiled on an open-faced sandwich smothered in hollandaise sauce, is commonly, though not conclusively, believed to be named for Mrs. Legrand Benedict, who ordered eggs this way at Delmonico's restaurant in New York City in the 1860s. During the Industrial Revolution, poached was the usual style. Today, people's preference is boiled, hard-boiled in the northern states and soft-boiled in the south. Number 13. If you ever want to venture off the beaten path, try cloud eggs, in which the whites are whisked into stiff peaks and baked, or eggs in a nest, which also goes by many other names, featuring an egg fried inside a piece of bread. Cook an omelet in a waffle maker for a unique shape, or use a milk steamer for insanely fluffy scrambles. Eggs offer many options, so get cracking. Here's an article about everyday heroes entitled Friends Indeed. Two buddies take an unscheduled dip into New York's East River to save a stranger, by Derek Burnett. Jameson Lobb, a 24-year-old investment banker from Toronto, was just 1 week into his new job on Wall Street. Over the past month, he'd been settling into the New York City apartment he was sharing with his college buddy, an artificial intelligence engineer named Raphael Joffrey. Now, on October 4th, 2021, the two were squeezing in a lunchtime workout on Pier 15, overlooking the East River, when Lobb froze. "Somebody's in the water," he said. Before Joffrey could respond, Lob climbed over the rail at the edge of the pier and leaped into the cold, polluted water without taking the time to remove his shoes. What Lob had heard was an alarmed fisherman shouting from Pier 16, nearly 50 yards away, "Help! He's in the water!" And what he'd seen was a person floating, lifeless. Joffrey didn't need to see the victim. Maybe Jay saw someone in the water who needs our help, he thought. Or maybe it's Jay who needs my help. Either way, I'm going in. He yanked off his shoes and swan-dived. Approaching the unconscious victim, Lob saw that it was a middle-aged man. He was big, around 200 pounds, respectably dressed and sinking fast. He was 3 feet below the surface by the time Lob reached him. The rescuer dove, felt around, grasped the man, and kicked upward until they both resurfaced. Joffrey was there now, treading water. The two friends floated the man on his back as Joffrey looped his arms around the man's shoulders and Lob supported the hips and knees. The pair undertook the slog back to Pier 15. Their lungs heaved and their muscles burned as they pushed and pulled the immobile figure through the brisk, churning water. They might have been hauling a corpse. The man's skin was blue, and neither Joffrey nor Lob detected any breathing. When at last they reached Pier 15, they faced a new uncertainty. How to get out? The pier's decking stood an unreachable 10 feet above their heads, and a metal beam that spanned the pilings horizontally just at the water's surface was covered in razor-sharp barnacles. If Joffrey, shoeless, attempted to climb onto it, he'd lacerate his bare feet. Suddenly, the man stirred, breathing again, and lashed out confusedly, clobbering Joffrey in the face before fading back to near unconsciousness. On the pier, a crowd had gathered. From somewhere, the onlookers produced a rope and a life preserver, which they tossed to Joffrey and Lob. The friends worked the victim's arm and head through the life preserver ring and tied the rope around his torso. Then Lob climbed up onto the bar while Joffrey held the man up in the water, slicing up his own arms as he used the barnacle-covered bar for support. With the two men pushing from below and the crowd pulling from above, the man's dangling body slowly rose until helping hands pulled him onto the pier. From the metal beam, Lob scrambled up onto the pier, but Joffrey remained in the water a few minutes more until he was rescued by the Coast Guard. Both men, thoroughly exhausted from 15-plus minutes in the water and bleeding from numerous barnacle cuts, watched as rescue workers loaded the nearly drowned man into an ambulance and drove away. Lob and Joffrey never learned who he was, what became of him, or how he'd fallen into the river. In place of that knowledge, they have a story they get to tell now, another experience that has further cemented their bond. Lots of people were on the piers that day, yet only the two of them jumped in the water because, they say, they were the fittest people there and so had a moral responsibility. "If I know I'm capable," Lob says, "why wouldn't I help?" Joffrey adds, laughing, "People always say, if your friend jumps off a cliff, are you jumping?" I think I answered that one. On to Glad to Hear It, 3 stories to make your day. Reef Madness. Warming waters and pollution have reduced Florida's coral reefs by 90%. One scientist has a partial solution, king crabs. Sewage and farm runoff help produce seaweed, also known as macroalgae, which smothers and crowds out reefs and blocks the sunshine that baby corals need to grow. Enter the crabs. They feast on seaweed. Marine ecologist Jason Spadaro is hoping to breed 250,000 Caribbean king crabs each year in his Florida Keys lab, then release them to dine away. According to Vox, studies show that reefs with healthy crab populations saw 85% less algae, a higher density of young corals, and more fish than other reefs. Scientists, says Spadaro, have figured out how to grow corals to replenish reefs. Now we need to help them survive. Playtime for all. Students at Glen Lake Elementary School in Minnetonka, Minnesota, love their playground. But kids in wheelchairs or with special needs often felt excluded because the equipment wasn't accessible to them. So students mobilized to raise the money needed to make the playground inclusive. It didn't seem fair that some kids were left out, fifth grader Wyatt Fuchs said. The youngsters held bake sales, went door to door, and got businesses to donate. Eventually, they raised $300,000, enough to add a wheelchair swing, a wheelchair-accessible merry-go-round, and a rubber surface. Now everyone enjoys recess, and that's a good thing, Reese Riley, another student, told CBS News. After all, recess is about having fun. Lady Luck. Geraldine Gimblett played the Florida lottery regularly, but luck seemed to evade her. Her fortunes turned worse when her daughter, Laurencina Jackson, was diagnosed with breast cancer. Gimblett emptied her savings to pay for the treatment. Then last April, the day after Jackson's final successful treatment, Gimblett bought a $10 lottery ticket and won big. $2 million big. I was like, are you sure? Gimblett, 74, told Good Morning America. Gimblett's action meant so much to me, Jackson said. I don't see where I can repay it. I just have to keep loving her. Maybe that'll help. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the March-April 2024 issue of Reader's Digest. I'm June Holliday. So long until next time.